All right, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Starting to feel a little bit comfortable when the lights went out. That was a common experience in Zambia. Usually happened right around the time my wife decided to start cooking supper. And then, boom. They called it load shedding. You say, what's that? They didn't have enough power to go around for the whole country, so they just picked and chose who wouldn't have power for a few hours that evening. Whoom. And then if you have a bad storm, you get the blackout. Sometimes what's worse than the blackout is the brownout. It goes way, way low, and all your appliances just start frying because you don't have enough power going through the stuff. Real exciting stuff. One of the exciting thing about our we didn't have NIPSCO, we had ZESCO. And on the side of their trucks, it was a great saying. It said, electricity all day, every day. And it was the biggest joke because you never knew when you were going to have it, when you weren't going to have it. So it was quite a false advertisement. But anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It's not any earth-shattering message tonight. I just want to preach a simple message about walking by faith. And hope it makes some sense before we get all done here. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Very short, simple text. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now, if I'm going to walk, in a room, I'd rather have my eyes open. But when it comes to the Christian life, it's better not to trust your sight, but faith, and trust that the Lord's going to lead you. Let's pray and ask God to bless. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together. We're thankful for your word and how it has met our needs over and over again in the past. And I pray that it would do that again this evening. Lord, people have come to hear from you. And I pray that you would touch someone's heart, maybe someone who's discouraged, maybe someone who's let up on faith, maybe just someone who needs to fight the good fight. We ask that we'll see something good accomplished because we came this evening. We pray for your strength now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sometimes faith almost seems mystical. I mean, people talk about faith, and we fail sometimes to have a very practical view of it. And I don't know how practical this will get. I'm going to try to make it practical, but, what does it mean to walk by faith? Ever thought about that? We talk about that. We read about it. Walk by faith, not by sight. What does it mean to walk by faith? Well, walking is composed of a series of steps. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So you put those two things together, and you get walking by faith can be described as this: taking steps when you cannot always see the end result. That's all God wants us to do, is take those steps that he's told us to take. You don't see any way that things are going to work out. You don't see how it's all going to come together. You just said, well, God said it. I'm going to do it. I don't know how on earth this is going to work, but all right, Lord, I'm going to have to trust you on this one. It's exciting to walk by faith. And if you have had some opportunities where you've walked by faith, it was exciting to see God do something, wasn't it? And then why is it, though, we tense up and we get fearful all of a sudden and say, well, I don't know if I can do that again? It's great when God leads us. And it's great when he answers prayer. And it's great when he provides. And great when everything works out. I remember when we came back from Nebraska, we went out and pastored in Nebraska for a short time. And the last thing I wanted to do was come back to Fairhaven. And God says, you need to go back to Fairhaven. I'm going to show you what to do next. No, Lord, I got other things I want to do. No. I argued and argued and argued and argued. I tried looking another place to go start a church. I looked at another place that needed a pastor. I went somewhere else to look at possibly becoming an assistant pastor. The last thing I want to do is come back to Fairhaven. I wanted to stay in the ministry. Go back to Fairhaven and do what? Sit around and twiddle my thumbs? I didn't want to come back. God says, just go back. I'll show you what to do. Man, we did. We came back. We didn't have a house. We didn't have a job. I didn't have anything. I just loaded up the U-Haul and drove here. All right, Lord, I don't have any money. I need to get a house. God provided a house. Didn't have a job. He gave me a job. And within a couple of days, God showed us what he had for us next. It was just an exciting time to see God work. It wasn't fun to go through it. It was frightening. It was fearful. But it's always exciting when you take that step that God tells you to take and you see him answer your prayers. As a teenager, I remember going with my brother, and he was 4 years older than me. He was always adventuresome, doing different things, and we always did things we shouldn't do. I remember one time he had a little bit of experience in rock climbing, so he said, "All right, let's go do some rock climbing." And it actually worked out. So he said, "Let's go do some rock climbing." I said, "All right, yeah, let's go rock climbing, man." So we're climbing up this ledge. I'd never rock climbed before in my life. He had some extra rock climbing shoes, and you know, you're supposed to hold on these things and these carabiners and these ropes and all these little handholds. And he says, "Now just, you know, where I go, you go. All right." So you put your hand up there. I remember I got to one place, and I was a good way up on this cliff, and I'm holding on with my right hand. I got both feet on a foothold somewhere, and I'm holding on with my left hand. He says, "All right, now the next move, you've got to reach around with your left hand around the corner and grab that rock." I'm reaching. There's no handhold there. He said, "No, you have to reach." I said, "Yeah, I am." He said, "You really have to reach." I said, "I am reaching." He said, "No, what you need to do is take your left foot and swing it out and your left arm at the same time and lunge a little bit and you'll find it." "Yeah, easy for you to say." I said, "I don't see it." He says, "No, it's there. You just have to." And we went on with this for a couple minutes. I'm getting tired. He was hanging there. So I finally said, "All right, you know." You know, and that's a little bit like faith. I didn't know there was something there. He said there was something there, and he had gone before me. And because he had gone before me, I couldn't see it, but I had to commit myself and go for it. It's a lot like faith. Sometimes you have to reach a little bit further than you think you can. We have to lose grip of the comfort that we have. Man, if I had just stayed there and hung to the cliff, eventually I would have got wore out and fallen. And as a Christian, you just can't stay where you are. You've got to stretch a little bit. You got to go where you don't think you can go and get out of that comfort zone and let God lift you up. God requires us to walk by faith, not by sight. And just as my brother had gone ahead of me, so I knew something was there, the Lord has gone before us. He knows the steps that we take. He knows the way he's chosen for us, and we've just got to be willing to go that way. You know, some people go through life doing what's possible. Some people go through life doing nothing because they think everything seems impossible. And then there's other people who do the impossible. Which one are you? How do you know if you're walking by faith? You know, I was just trying to think about this, and I just came up with a few things. We'll look at a few things from Scripture. How do you know if you're walking by faith? Let's just kind of bounce off our life off of what the Scriptures say and see if we've got this faith that's walking. Let's go over to Mark chapter number 2. Mark chapter number 2. In Mark chapter 2, I love the story. In verse number 1, it says, "And again, he entered in Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, and so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And they had, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, 'Son, thy sins be forgiven thee.'" I think the first thing we need to have is, if we want to know if we're walking by faith, we need visible faith. Visible faith. The Bible says that Jesus saw their faith. Faith always involves action. People say, people talk a lot about, you know, "I've got faith and I've got this faith." I was talking to someone recently and they were telling me their life was filled with sin. It was filled with trouble. They had misery. And they're telling me, "Yeah, my I've always had a strong faith. And I'm thinking, what faith? I mean, they're living in sin. Their life was, I mean, it was a mess. I've always had a strong faith. Well, if they had faith, it would have been evident, right? Could have seen some evidence of it. Sometimes we look at people and say, man, what a person of faith. How on earth do you ever come up with that idea that they're a person of faith? Because they sit around the home and pray all day and never leave their house? No, because you see that something's been accomplished through their life. It's no doubt that they've been in the prayer closet meeting with God, but then they get out of the prayer closet and something happens. There's some action involved. I mean, you can pray all you want for someone to get saved. If you don't go talk to them, don't expect them to get saved. We've got to put some feet to our prayers. We have to have visible faith. There's a lot of stories about the Niagara Falls, and it seems like a lot of them are very similar, but there's this one where this tightrope walker, he was crossing a cable, and he walked across, and the people cheered, yay! He says, yeah, good. Then he takes a barrel and he rolls the barrel across, and people, yeah, they're all excited. He rolled the barrel across and he says, do you think, and he looked down at a little boy who's smiling, he's all happy, wow, this is great. He says, do you think that I could push you across in the barrel? He says, yeah. He says, well, get in. That boy ran. Now, why did he run? It's easy to say yes. It's easy to say you have faith. It's quite another thing to demonstrate it. And the Lord is looking for faith. In this text we just read here, when Jesus saw their faith, he saw their faith. That tells me he's looking for our faith. He's looking to see what we do. These guys did something. They tried to get a man to Jesus. They couldn't get the man to Jesus. They broke up the roof and they got him to Jesus despite all odds. They did it anyway. They had some determination. They weren't going to take no for an answer. They were just going to get this thing done. And sometimes faith is just keep going. That's what it is sometimes. Jesus saw their faith. Does he see yours? I'm thinking, you know, we need a visible faith, not to prove to everybody else that we're a great people of faith. Because most of the people who are great people of faith never really thought that they were. They never really thought, well, man, I'm a man of faith. Let everybody know. What can I do? It's like the missionary who lives to write the prayer letter, you know? How can I make everyone think I'm a great missionary? You're not! You know, we don't have to stage everything in life. We just need to live for God. And God's looking to see if we have faith. How about in the area of child training? Have you ever thought that you were getting nowhere with your children? How many times have you thought that? It's not have you ever. How many times have you thought that? Man, I'm doing everything that I was supposed to be doing. It's just not working. Man, anyone who's been in the ministry has had to counsel people. Well, I'm trying. I'm doing this and this. And they're not always doing everything. But there are times where people are really doing what they're supposed to be doing. And it just takes time. And it takes faith. And we said, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. It is true. And faith just holds on to it. You say, well, I don't know. You just keep doing it. Get some counsel, get some advice to make sure you're doing the right thing in the first place. But then just keep going. Keep teaching. Keep loving them. Keep training them. Keep disciplining them. Do it all by faith. Because in the end, God will reward it. Giving. Man, God says, give and it shall be given. But then you wonder, man, I got a present need. Lord, I've been given. How many times have you made the commitment to give? And then, all right, Lord, I'm giving. I'm giving. And I was expecting to be coming in. It's not quite coming in like I thought it was going to be coming in. You said it was going to come in. Given it shall be given. Okay, I'm waiting. Lord, I'm waiting. And you're wondering, what's going to go? And you're tempted to cut back. What does faith do? Faith says, well, I can't see it. Just going to reach a little bit further. I can't see it. It's there. I'm just going to keep giving because I know God's going to take care of me. We have to keep living by faith. and walking by faith. God's not going to let us down. What about soul winning? That person you've tried to reach, but to no avail. What does faith do? It keeps trying. It keeps praying, yes. It keeps writing a letter if it's necessary. If you're long distance, you're making a phone call, going to see someone. It just keeps trying. I know a man who prayed for his wife for 30 years to get saved. That's a long time. And she did get saved. 30 years. Faith keeps going when there's no answer in sight. Not only will we have a visible faith, but we'd have a valued faith. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Are you walking by faith? Is it visible to God? Not to everybody else, but to God. Does God look down and see that you keep going, you keep doing what he told you to do, and you're just going to trust him? So I sometimes waver. Oh, yes. Like the man, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. At least there was enough belief to keep trying and ask God to help him with this lack of belief. We need a valued faith. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith being much more what? It's precious. It's precious. Much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Now, gold's quite valuable these days. I mean, if you had a pound of gold, man, you'd be doing all right. Amen. Anybody have a spare pound? I wouldn't mind it. But you'll be given. It'll be given back to you. If you really want to test your faith, you know, you can try it out that way. Just remember, I'm not God, so I'm not going to give it back to you. The trial of your faith being much more precious. How much do you value faith? Now, faith is real important to God. I think sometimes we look at a lack of faith as just this, you know, a minor sin. The Bible reminds you, it says in Romans 14, 23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I think a lot of times we go through life, and if you've been in a good church like this, you know what's right, you know what's wrong. It's easy to go through the motions. It's easy to read. Some of us have been reading our Bible and praying every day for years, decades, every day. And you do it because that's what you do. But you can read your Bible without faith. You can pray without faith. You can go through your prayer list and not have faith that God's going to do anything. Do you place a premium on faith? Man, people watch the stock markets. They're watching the price of this, the price of that. They're watching everything. Why don't we put some emphasis on faith? Hebrews 11:6 still says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. I'm going to come up against tough situations, and so are you. And God's going to see, okay, I want to see if they've got faith. What are they going to do in this situation? Man, life can be cruising along just fine, then all of a sudden a problem comes, and if we're going, that's because we didn't hit that situation with faith. We were just cruising along when the circumstances were good. We weren't living by faith. It's impossible to please God. And if we have to have, listen, if we have to have faith to make God happy, then it's real important. Is your life making God smile right now? This past week, when God looked at your life and what you did and what you didn't do, you said, well, I did this and this and this. Okay, fine. Did you do it in faith? Or did you do it because it made you look good? Or because someone else was watching? We need faith. A lack of faith is not some little sin. Hebrews 3:12 calls it an evil heart of unbelief. It's an evil heart when we don't believe God. And God's going to try our faith. And he said that the trial of our faith is precious. And he has a purpose behind every affliction. So if afflictions and trials build our faith and give us stronger faith, or they can build our faith, shouldn't we accept them? Shouldn't we look at them and say, Lord, what do you want to do in my life in this situation? Make me a better Christian. But how often do we just do the opposite? Lord, why'd you do this to me? I don't understand what you're doing. Man, this is so hard. We're always looking for the quick escape instead of seeing these trials as stepping stones to build our faith. Of course, we know Handel, the great composer, he was brought very, very low. He lost his health. Temporarily, his right side was paralyzed. He lost his money. The creditors were threatening to imprison him. He was discouraged. He was tempted to quit. He tried to make a little bit of a comeback, and his friend came with some texts of Scripture and said, here, work on this. And he did. And it's when he penned the Hallelujah Chorus and his famous Messiah. He came through it. What was God doing? God was bringing him low so that he could lift him up. And God will do that to you. He'll bring you low so that if anything good comes out of it, it's not you. You wouldn't take the credit. He couldn't take any credit. He was locked in a room for days and days. God got the credit. And God wants the credit. And when you pass God's test, the blessings are there. And walking by faith then is to place the right value on anything that will build your faith, including afflictions and trials. So are you walking by faith? If so, you'll have a visible faith. God will see that you're not quitting, you're not giving up, you're going to keep going. He's going to see that you value faith very highly, that you accept what he brings into your life. And then thirdly, if you're walking by faith, you'll have a valiant faith. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Valiant means to be courageous. Sometimes it just plain takes some courage to have some faith, to stand up for God, to stand up for what's right. And to walk by faith is to stay in the battle for God. I was reading a story about John Wesley. The people came, he was preaching, and the people came, and they stormed the building he was in, an angry mob, and they were all angry and upset at him. And he went outside, and he went into the crowd, this angry mob, and he said, here I am. Anybody want to say something, you can tell me right now. And they're so shocked that this, you know, little guy came out and said, all right, here I am. And he kind of made his way through the crowd, and he got in the street, and he started preaching. And some of the guys who were, you know, the ringleaders said, hey, nobody touch him. We want to hear what he's got to say. Here he's up there. He's preaching away. And he later wrote, he says, I never saw the hand of God as I did that day. What was it? He had faith. He said he was crazy. Maybe, but he had faith. He had faith. He wasn't afraid. He had some courage. You know, speak of courage, turn with me to Joshua chapter 14. I like the story of Caleb. When things get tough, you don't retreat. You forge ahead. And you're going to have some tough days. Our church has had some tough days. But what's happened? The church kept going. People kept knocking on doors. People kept going. And what has God done? He blessed it. Amen? We could hide, or we could just have some courage. And in Joshua 14, look in verse number 6. The children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said. Isn't it always as he says? He's going to do as he says. These 40 and 5 years, now he's 85 years old, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. You say, do you think he's really that strong? It doesn't matter. He thought he was. And because he thought he was, he did it, didn't he? Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. And thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And he was able to drive them out. Why? Because he wasn't afraid when he was 40. And when he was 45 years later, when he was 85, he still wasn't afraid. He had some courage. He said, God said it back then. I still believe it. 45 years later. He had to wait a long time, but he said, I still believe it. And he had courage enough to believe that God was going to give him the victory, and he did. We've got to face those giants that oppose us. You're going to come up against some things that are too big for you. You can't fix everything. Man, we run around in the energy of the flesh, scheming, planning, fighting, trying to wiggle our way out instead of just falling on our face and saying, oh God, I can't do this. I can't do this. But rising, saying, I can do this because we brought it to the Lord. Caleb defeated his giants, and we can too. Are there problems in your home? God's a big God. He can work there. How about at work? Oh no, we'll never have any problems at work, right? Everyone's all, they all love the Christians there, don't they? Man, they're just so happy you come to work and that you put in a hard day's work, you tell them about Jesus. They're excited about that. At school, with your friends, we're going to come across things that are tough. And faith requires courage. It requires bravery to stand up and say, okay, I'm not going to fear this. You see, fear replaces faith. And faith replaces fear. It's all what you want. David Livingston received a letter one day from a missionary society. And they said, have you found a good road where you are? If so, we want to send some men, other men, to join you. And Livingston wrote back, if you have men who will only come if there's a good road, I don't want them. I want men who will come if there is no road at all. He said, I want some courageous men. I want some men of faith. And we are so much that way. Is it easy? Well, if it's easy, then I can do it. Then it's God's will. God's will is not always easy. John the Baptist, tell that to John the Baptist when they chopped his head off. Well, I'll only stand against Herod if he doesn't hurt me. Right? Well, I'll only stand up to my friends if they'll listen. If they won't listen, then I'm not going to stand up to my friends at school. Well, we have all the reasons why we will do something. We just won't do it because it's right and because God said to, and we're just going to trust him that he's going to take care of it. We need to have faith, some courage. We can't be afraid to get in the battle. Is there a ministry that God wants you involved in that you've been putting off and say, yeah, I should. I know. Just have some faith. So I can't do it. Good. Then maybe you can. Don't fear. Don't let fear stop you from doing what God wants you to do. Do what he leads, and then you can watch things begin to work out. When we don't follow him, things don't work out. And we'll sit there in defeat. So if you're walking by faith, you'll also have, number four, a virtuous faith. Turn with me back to Genesis 32, you'll see what I'm talking about. A virtuous faith. You say, virtuous? That means good and all that? Well, really, if you study the word virtue out in the Bible, it's it's a little different than what we tend to use it as these days. The biblical term for refers to strength. In particular, and Webster goes further to define it, strength from straining, stretching, and extending. Strength from straining. Isn't that how you get strong? By straining and pushing yourself? Lifting and doing more than you think you can do? That is how you get strength. And we need to have some virtuous, strong faith. In Genesis 32, begin in verse 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." How on earth did Jacob prevail? He wrestled with God. And God said, I'm leaving. No, you're not leaving. And God afflicted him. He says, "I'm going to hang on. I will not let thee go except thou bless me." Now, that's strong faith. That was the strain we're talking about. Now, I'm not a heavy-duty wrestler. I never was a heavy-duty wrestler. In college, we wrestled a couple times. And man, after you get through those short little rounds, man, you're dying. And these wrestlers who really do wrestle, or at least they think they do, they're out there, they are wrestling and they're sweating and they're dead. After a real strong, hard match, they're dead. This guy, Jacob, wrestled all night. He gave everything he had. And sometimes faith, you see, faith's not always easy. We get this idea that faith is, "Well, I had faith and everything was great." Sometimes it drains you. It's hard sometimes. So that's not the idea of faith that I have. Well, I'm just telling you the idea of faith that I see in the Bible. It's tough. And sometimes walking by faith, you just have to hang on. Haven't there been times in your life where you just can't go on anymore? Everything has fallen apart. You don't know how you can go on anymore. You want to quit, you want to give up, and the only thing you can do sometime is just hang on. If you haven't been there, maybe you will one day. I've been there a few times. I can't do this. It's more than I can bear. I can't. Have you ever thought, "I'm going to quit"? And you realize there's nothing to quit and go back to, so you just hang on. You just hang on. Okay, I'm going to hang on. God, you got to get me through. During a storm on a ship, all the loose things will be swept away by the raging sea. But those items that are tied down securely are going to be safe from the waves. As we fasten our hope to the Lord Jesus Christ, we can weather any storm. The cable of faith will bring us through even the strongest of tempests. We've just got to hold on. Will your anchor hold? It sure will. Maybe you're perplexed. Hang on. Endure. You're discouraged. Don't quit. Hang on. Hang on. Are you full of fear? Just keep on going. God's not going to let you down. And learn to say, pray the prayer, "Lord, I will not let thee go except thou bless me." And then listen for the reply, "As a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Strong faith. What God wants. And it's only developed by straining and extending and reaching farther than we think we can reach and going to heights higher than we think we can do. That's what builds our faith. Strong faith's not easy. It's always tough. We look at these men in the Bible, men of great faith, but what'd they have to do? Abraham had to go and be willing, not just willing, he was prepared to offer his son. He was in the process of killing his son. And God said, "Okay, I see you're all right now. Tell me that was easy. We said, wow, it's great faith. Yeah, hard faith. Difficult faith. Man, you go, you can read we love the first half of Hebrews 11. You look at the other half of Hebrews 11 at the end where it talks about all the people, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder. They cut them in half when they were alive. How'd they do that? By faith. Why? They had great, lofty, magical, mystical faith. No! They got stretched out and they put the saw to their belly and faith isn't always easy. Sometimes it's just hanging on by your fingertips. And trusting that God's going to come and get you off the cliff. It's going to get you out of that situation. And that's what builds our faith. And walking by faith means that you're going to strain. And you're going to refuse to let go of God until He blesses you. When's the last time that God got a hold of you? I mean, He will put us through troubles. Why? To get us on our knees. So we become real. So we stop living by sight where everything's easy. Click, 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 click. No. God, I can't do this. And God says, I was just waiting for you to say that. Let me show you what I can do for you. Next, fifth, lastly, if you're walking by faith, you'll have victorious faith. 1 John 5:4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. He uses that word two times, overcometh. Faith overcomes. It's victorious. It wins. And if you are always being defeated, you lose every time a temptation comes, every time a battle comes, you're always falling. You're not walking by faith. I mean, this is just a simple message. We're just not walking by faith when we keep falling all the time to the same thing over and over and over again. And there's never victory. Listen, God's there. He's got the power. We've got the promises. He's given us His Holy Spirit. We can have victory. But you also have to have an opponent. You know, isn't it true that the toughest opponents bring the sweetest victories? I mean, in the sports, if you play a team and they rot and you win, it's like, big deal, right? I saw on the news some football team beat another high school football team 91-0. And then they were being accused of bullying the team. You shouldn't have beat us by 91. No, they worked hard. They should have beat them by 91-0. They mop them up. They actually didn't even feel good about themselves after the victory. It's like, well, I feel bad, you know. We beat them 91-0. They shouldn't feel bad, first of all. But secondly, they're not going to feel good because there's no competition. But when you have to fight for something, why do we consider David's victory over Goliath so monumental? Because he was a little kid against this huge giant. I remember in high school, I played basketball. I was the center. And we were playing against a rival team. And they had the star of their team was called the General. Man, the General, man, he was good. He was a showboater, though. He'd come swooping in, and he's like Dr. J. He could play. He could jump, and he had hang time. I mean, and he could weave in and out, and he was good. I remember in the first half, early in the game, I go up for a shot, and man, he blocked me. I was like, ooh, this isn't good. This is not good. But, you know, I don't like having my shots blocked. So I went down and says, you know what, I'm going to get the general. I mean, I remember he came down, he was swooping through the lanes, and I went up there and I took my hand, and I sent his ball clear off the court. And then it was like, yeah. He came through a couple more times, and the general, we put him down to sergeant that day. Amen. And you say, what? I'm not a great basketball player. I don't even play anymore. But so it's not that I was a great basketball player. It's just I didn't want to sit. But, you know, you make me look bad. I'm going to make you look bad on the basketball court. You know, you come at me, I'm coming back at you. When you get attacked by the devil, you just fold, lay down, and quit. You know, these guys on the wrestling season's coming up now. Let me say this. Now, sports doesn't mean you have faith. I'm not saying that. I didn't have faith. That's not what helped me block the guy's shot. I just was irritated and I wanted to fight back. But my point is this. You can have some fight in you without faith. But you can't have faith without some fight. You've got to have some fight. And the guy who lies down on the wrestling mat and gives up without a fight, that's the guy who's probably going to give up in his struggle against sin. You know, I don't care if my son loses. He's like the world wrestler over there. Right? I don't care if he loses, but I do care if he just lays down and lets the guy pin him. I do care about that. Because I fear that's what people do a lot in the fight against sin. They just roll over. They just give up. When you fall into sin, get back up and fight. Get angry at it. You know, you can be angry at sin. And it's okay to be angry at the devil. And it's even okay to be angry at yourself that you did something stupid. And it's okay to confess it to God and say, Lord, by your grace, I'm going to get back up and I'm not going to do that again. We need to have some victories. Are you having some victory? Or are you constantly being defeated? If so, you need some faith. Now, what brings victory? Yeah, faith, but a focused faith. The cheetah is the world's fastest animal. And when the cheetah is hunting, what he does is he focuses on one animal in the herd. And then the chase begins. Man, that animal zigzag back, you know, like an impala or something. He's zigzagging all over the place. He's trying to outrun him. And that cheetah, he's flying, and he's trying to zero in on this one guy. He stays focused. He's running past some other animals. But he's not sidetracked by those other animals. He's focused on what he's going after. And he will get what he's going after because he stays focused. Don't get distracted and sidetracked is what the point is here. How many times you've made a decision, whatever it is, I'm going to have family devotions, and then you start for a while, and then you get sidetracked. You lose your focus. No. Faith is victorious. Faith stays focused until it gets the prize. I'm going to keep going until I get it. I'm going to keep fighting against this sin until I get a victory over it. When God deals with you about something, I don't know, what is he dealing with you about? What is he dealing with you about? If he is dealing with you about something, yes, pray. Write it down. Pray over it. Get counsel. Study the scriptures over it. Memorize some verses about it. Stay focused and get the victory. And I'm convinced that people could have more victory over sin if they just got serious. We just don't get serious. You know when people get serious? After they've completely messed up their lives. They've reaped drastically. Now all of a sudden, time to get serious. You wouldn't be reaping right now if you had gotten serious before that. We live by sight, convincing ourselves that we're good Christians. And then we fall. Why? Sight walkers. Faith overcomes the world. Are you overcoming tonight? That's the question. Turn with me as we close now in Hebrews chapter 11. I want to look at one verse here. Nothing earth-shattering, just it's an easy, perfect illustration of what the whole message has been talking about. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7. Look at Noah. Think about Noah for a moment. We'll read in verse number 7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Now what about Noah? Let's consider his faith. Let's go back to the points here. Was it visible? Yeah. He prepared an ark. He had no precedent to follow. There was never rain before. There was no flooding before. The only thing he had to go on was God's word. God said it was going to flood. He said, okay, I believe that. So he prepared. It was visible. He did what God said. Was it valuable? Did he have a high value on it? Yeah, it saved his house. You know, if we have faith, we just might save our kids from the devil. So I messed up. If we just had some faith, maybe we could salvage what's left. Amen? Was it valiant? Did he have some courage? Yeah. Nobody else was building an ark. But he did it. It doesn't matter what everybody else does. You do what God wants you to do. There's some things that nobody else is going to do because God wanted you to do it. You can't sit around and wait for others to get on the bandwagon. No, you got to do it if God said to. Was it virtuous in the fact that he had strength? Oh, yeah. He endured mocking. You think for decades, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years go by, 50 years. What you building? 60 years, 70 years. Hey, you're getting kind of old there, Noah. 80 years, 90 years. Ha ha. Yeah. The rain did come, didn't it? He endured the mocking, but he held on to God's promise. And he had to wait, as Caleb did, a long time to get it. Just hold on. That's what we said earlier. Hold on. Sometimes faith is just holding on. And was it victorious? I'd say he survived the flood. But I think it's too often we're not like Noah, we're like Peter. God says, hey, come. We go out. We take the step of faith. Based on his word, we go. And we look at all the circumstances. Things start getting tempestuous and boisterous and I can't do this. And we start sinking. I think we're often more times like Peter than we are like Noah. Listen, walking by faith, it's not glamorous. It's not mystical. It's just practical. It's a struggle. It's a struggle. It takes some courage. It takes some action. It takes some strain, effort, determination, and some fight. But if you do what God says, it is rewarding, and you'll have some blessings. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.